afternoon, everyone. It's another wonderful, joyful, happy Sabbath. We're not enjoying the heat, you know, but thank God for it. We're glad that the sun shines and it provides us what we need so the crops can grow. Everything has its place, right? So we don't have to complain and just thank God for his blessings and stay inside and turn on the air conditioner. Yeah, that's right. No sense of fretting, you know. Just do what we need to do so we can be all right. Well, today I wanted to talk about something that I have known since I was a child. People used to always talk about this and say that it seems to be very important to us in our walk with God. You don't know what that is. God never fails. Wow, God does not fail. All right, so when we see the power of God, do you think that the power is the ability to take care of the situations that man can face in life? Yes. We have seen in the scripture how God has worked many miracles and done a lot of things for his saints in the scripture. And we have had the testimony from many people of how God has come in and helped people in their different situations. And so we have those testimonies to inspire us and help us to be encouraged to continue on with God, because he is a very powerful and wonderful God who created all things. And I believe that through the power of God, we can overcome the obstacles in our life. Because we're going to face something, right? And I will explore what I believe there is no failure. Why I believe there's no failure in God. And I can say that he had helped me through a few things myself. See, I have a testimony or two, you know? So I believe that God is all compassionate, powerful God. He knows how things operate. He knows how our bodies operate. He knows how the world operates and how things work. So that if he needs to correct something, he corrects it. All right? If you need to change or move some molecules around, he knows about the molecules and he can do that. Now, see, he knew about the atom before man did. We had to study to figure out all these things out. And now we find out that most everything that has been created, it goes back to the atom. Right? So God already knew about that. Okay? And he knows what he created and how he created it. Think about how long ago that was and how long it took for mankind to find out about the atom and the water. And which comprise our bodies. What are we assuming? A high percentage of water. I forgot the percentage, but it's a lot of water in our bodies. And we have cells, and we have nourishment for them from the food that we eat. If you eat the right food and take care of yourself, you shouldn't really have any ills. But, of course, you know, they mess with the food, so they say that the vegetables that we grow, it doesn't have as much nutrients as it used to have because of depleted soils. It don't have all the minerals in it. And a lot of the farmers do not allow that 1 year for the land to rest so that it can replenish itself. And I think somehow the way, I didn't look it up yet, but the worms, they keep the ground aerated. See? Everything has its function. Now, we're not supposed to eat worms, but we use worms when we catch fish, you see. But they have their place. So the definition, I looked up and I saw the definition of the word fail, and I have about four definitions here. They say one is to be unsuccessful in achieving one's goals. Okay, and another one, number two, is neglect to do something. Number three, break down and cease to work well. See, that's like a truck that will break down. It is not working properly, and you can't go anywhere because the truck is not working. You see? And number four is a grade that is not high enough to pass an examination or a test. So I look at the first one, and I noticed something that was going on this week, you know, concerning item number one, be unsuccessful in achieving one's goal. You see, as a parent, they love to rear their children with good character and grow into a person who is fair-minded and love to share and have love for mankind and get along with others. Well, imagine a parent who thinks of themselves as a failure when a child seems to be a narcissist. You don't know what a narcissist is? That is a person who has an excessive interest in or admiration of themselves. They seem to care less of other people, more about themselves. There was one lady whose child was like that. She had that narcissistic tendency, so that her other child became sick and the parent had to pay more attention to the other child. So the child with the narcissistic tendencies didn't like it. And you know how children sometimes they act out their frustrations and whatnot? Well, the child acted out her frustrations, and she was trying to get the attention from her parent. Because remember, I think she was the first child, so you know how that is. The first child gets all the attention. And then here comes another child who gets a little attention. And then when that particular child becomes sick and needs more attention, and then the first child begins to think, I'm losing out, you know, and so I want all this attention, so I'm trying to bring it to me, you know? So and a lot of things that that child does, you know, let you know they have a narcissistic tendency. So if a parent sees this in a child, they will try to get the child to change their attitude and develop a better attitude. Now, if the parent is not successful, he will feel like a what? Failure. And seek help from others. So there are different things that, you know, come up in a child's life, you know, they handle it the best way that they know how. And a lot of times they say that the way to deal with these situations is to actually handle it, you know, and try to find out how the child feels and try to talk to the child and let the child know that, you know, I have to give this other attention to the other child, but I still love you, right? And then maybe the child can begin to say, well, all right, I will let the other child have a little attention because I'm still getting some. And, you know, because again, you have to work these things out. And don't just tell the child, just go in the corner and shut up, you know. That's not going to work. These children continue to develop these attitudes and go on and on. And unless you work with it, the child, to help get rid of those tendencies, well, it will continue until adulthood, you see. And you don't want a narcissistic adult, do you? I don't think so. They care about themselves and not you. In item two, it says something about neglect. So you neglect to do something. Now, we sometimes neglect to do something. That is a type of failure. A carpenter needs his tools for his job. Now, if he neglects to put them in a proper place at the end of the workday, he may lose them on the way home. Right? I found tools laying on the road before, you know. Carpenter tools. You know the level? That'd be a nice level. It's old, but it works. See, because he lost it. Whoever it was had it, lost it. I found hammers and a lot of other things, you know, just laying in the road because it dropped off the truck. That person neglected to secure his tools. How would it be the next day he'd go to work and he find his tools are not there? See, so that's a failure to take care of your tools, so it's not there to aid you in doing your job. Item 3 says, you need God in case you fall to hold you up. Let's go to Ecclesiastes. I looked at a verse for this one. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 through 12. I'm going to look at the verse that is called, it's talking about the value of a friend. Sometimes you need friends to help you out. So, two are better than one because they have a good reward of their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. And how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. So we need companionship. And sometimes, you know, we form different relationships with people, and these people become to be like a help to us, especially if we have friendly and warm and loving relationships. We form relationships within the church. We have different relationships with each other. Some of it might be a strained relationship with one person, and the rest of the congregation, we're all right. And everything is wonderful, and we still pray for one another, and we love each other. It's a way of holding each other up. And when we hear of the trials and the temptations and whatnot that one of the members are going through, we empathize with them. We cry, we mourn with those that are mourning, and we be joyful with those that are happy. So these important relationships are a help to us to reinforce and keep our minds calm, and we can rejoice with one another. And as we praise God together as one church, one holy apostolic body. So again, we need to have friends to hold us up. Okay, number 4 says, try me, O God. O Abraham, it is written that he believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. He was tested and he did not fail the test. He passed. Then he received favor of God. He was also counted as being blessed. Isn't that wonderful? He was blessed of God. But not just him. Let's notice also, let's go to Luke, and we notice that it says it's something about Mary. Luke, the first chapter, verse 28. Because it's wonderful, you know, that you will be counted on God as a person that he could use for different things that he wants to get done, and he can call on you and depend upon you. See, we like to depend on God, and we can, right? But can he depend upon us? You see, so here Luke chapter 1, verse 28, speaking of Mary, and having come in, the angel said unto her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you. See, he said, blessed are you among women. Now, what did he see in her that he would want to say such a thing? You know, blessed are you. Mary did not fail a test, possibly, you know. Remember that she was chosen to be the mother of Jesus, for she was accepted of God. What did God know about Mary? Remember that God tries the heart. What do you meditate on? What is your heart like? Are you a vessel that God can use? That's what we would like to be. Use me, Lord, use me. There's a song that says that. Use me in your service. So, what are some of the attributes of the blessed that, you know, maybe God possibly had seen in Mary that he would decide to use her to be the mother to bring Jesus into the world? And that's found in Matthew, the 5th chapter. We'll read verse 3 through 11. So it does say that Mary was blessed. Okay, so here's something that maybe attributes that Mary had. You see, in verse 3 says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." Verse 4, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." "Blessed are the meek." My favorite one, one of my favorite ones. "For they shall inherit the earth." You know, a lot of times I quote that when I be talking to people, and it seems like it just goes and comes in one ear and out the other, you know. But to me, that means quite a bit, you know. God said we'll inherit the earth, but only the meek. Okay. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy from God." Wow. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Have a pure heart and be the person that God would choose to be to bring Jesus into the world, in the flesh. I think that most likely, if anything, Mary had this one. "Blessed are the pure in heart." And they will ask God that he would give him a pure heart. And that's what we should have, a pure heart. What the kind of things do we meditate on? You know, you meditate on wrong things or things that are righteous and things that will be a blessing to others as well as ourselves. You have to know from God what would bless and help us, you see. So, and one of those things is to have a pure, clean heart. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." All right, so are we peacemakers? You know, within the congregation, that's what God wants us to be, is peacemakers among the congregation. And then when you go home, be peacemakers. You know, your children and whatnot start a fight, you know, just break them up. And see what's going on. You see? Be peacemakers. Be peaceable with one another. "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Isn't that wonderful? Persecuted not for doing wrong, or persecuted just to be persecuted, because some people just don't like you and they'll persecute you. You see? They don't like the way you, what kind of shoes you wearing or something. And then they're going to mock and scorn you. You know, of course, children do that a lot, you know. If you don't have on the right kind of tennis shoes, they mock and scorn you. And I say, well, wait a minute. How does that make the man, you know, or the person, the right kind of shoes? But they did that. I was hearing about that a few years ago. I don't hear that much of that's going on in the schools, but I did hear about the tennis shoes. You have to have the $150 tennis. You walk in there with $20 tennis, now they're marking scorn, you see. But there are times even when if you don't have the right shirt on, people will mark and scorn you. So even some of the conservatives, they wear their conservative shirts and whatnot, and some people want them to take it off or turn it around. Especially in the schools, If a child wears something that it has a conservative theme on it, you know, and a flag and saying that they're glad to be here in America, they don't want them to have that. Make them turn it around. See? So, persecuted for righteousness' sake is even much better, you know, because you are holding up God and telling people that God is real. So, don't fail to say that. We're saints of God. Don't be a failure and not say that God is real to you. You see, many people in the world, you know, they are mockers and scoffers and they scorn God. But you say, but I believe God is real. Because he's been real to me. And I know that I can call upon him in a time of need. See, so God may have checked and known that Mary had the character of one who could use for this his will and use her, and the world knows her today. Because she is blessed of God, and we've heard her story. What did she tell the angel? She said, let it be to her. You know, she wanted to do the will of God. And that's where we should be today. Suppose God was to come and ask you to do something now. He would possibly send an angel, you know, because he always sends his messengers. Would you say yes and do it? Now, you might wonder a little bit, because who was that? Zechariah, who and was John's father. He was a little bit hesitant, you know. Is this real, you know? So it gives you a little sign to let you know this is really from God, okay? But nonetheless, we should be willing to live the life before God that he would see that I can use, he can use us for his service. If he has something special that he want done, then he come to you and say, this is what I want you to do. And then you just say, yes, Lord. But why? Because there's a parable that says, the child that does the will of God, they obtain his love and favor. And then he'll be blessed of God. And so this is a wonderful thing to be prepared to serve the living God. Okay. Let's go to Luke 1 and 42. Let's see, I was at 28 before, but we'll go to verse 42. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. See, so that's Elizabeth saying, you know, okay, blessed are you, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Isn't that wonderful to be a blessing and do some wonderful things in life? There are many people who do some very good things. I mean, you could say that some of them are Catholics or Protestants of a sort, but a lot of them, they have good hearts and they do some good things. So God has a place and a time for all mankind. And so let's be a blessing. You know, and a help to people. Okay, the children of Israel to conquer the promise in the promised land. Let's go to Deuteronomy. I say conquer. I think I did spell that wrong. Deuteronomy, the 31st chapter, verse 6 through 8. You see, because it's important that God work with us and be with us in a time when certain things need to be done. We need to be able to be in God's love and favor. See, so Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6 and 8. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of the people of Canaan. Right? For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. See, so that's wonderful when God would say such a thing to you. He will be with you and not forsake you, and then he's going to strengthen your arm. He's going to give you strength to endure what you need to endure. Then Moses called Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage. See? Be strong because God is going to be with you. And be of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Don't be dismayed or discouraged, and don't faint by the way. It's because you've seen that some of these people are bigger than you and stronger than you. And God has power to deliver them into your hands. And he began to do that for them when they raised up to do what God commanded them to do. And they managed to take over and secure the promised land. That's a wonderful thing when God is with you. Because, you know, when you wake up in the morning and you have to face another day, you have things that you need to do and you don't know if you'll be able to be successful with it. When you don't want to be a failure, you just, when you get on your knees before you leave, ask God to what? Be with you so they can be successful and will attempt to do what you need to do. See, because the Lord is strong and mighty. He has already shown his might to Israel, and they needed to believe him and do what he said to do. They did not always believe, and they didn't always obey. But when they did, they were strong and mighty and did exploits. That's right. So let's go to Joshua verse 1 through 5. No, chapter 1, verse 5. And this is an important point also concerning when God is with you and you have his might and power to help you. See? No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. See, mankind knows that we have limitations. We're not all powerful. We're not that great either. We are somebody, and God cares about us, just like we care about one another. Especially we care about our children. Well, we are supposed to be the children of God, so God cares about his children. And if he said he's going to be with you, you can count on that. Right? God does not fail. So God planned for Israel to do well. And today, he will help his people. Can you feel that God is with you sometimes? You feel that? Okay. Mostly myself, you know, I feel a peace that I can't understand. You know? When I was younger, you know, I didn't feel that peace. But I feel it now. So I believe God is with me. He's helping me day by day. Let's go to Psalms 19, verse 14. It's wonderful to feel that God is with you. See? It helps you to be glad to face another day, knowing that, you know, things can go well for you. You find out or hear some bad news, well, God will be with you and comfort you through it. You know, every now and then people have to go to the hospital to visit relatives. Help relatives in the hospital are not doing so well. Well, God can still comfort you. Because, you know, these close relationships that we have with our relatives, it causes us pain, you know, when we see that they're not doing so well, you see. So it's all right to love. I have to keep saying that because I know that love and caring for a person causes you to have a close bond with them so that when they're happy, you can be happy, okay? And when they're really sad or sick, well, and then you feel that, you know, because you love. But it's all right to love because God commands it. He wants us to love and feel one another's care. So that's a wonderful thing. So let's go. Did I say Psalms 19 and verse 14? Okay. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. What kind of things do we meditate on? Some of the things that we think about and we think that's important to us, if we're doing the wrong things, we can be setting ourselves up for what? Failure. You know? And my other favorite word is to mess up something. And when we mess up, you can't blame anybody else, but some people, they do that. You know, they try to blame somebody else, pass the buck, so to speak. But really, you have to acknowledge that it was you who did that, right? So that even on the job, some people, you know, they like to blame the next person who was with them, you know. Everybody likes to look good. You don't want to, no boss or anyone to say that, you know, you're not doing a good job because so you might get fired, right? So you blame the other person. But strive to do well, nonetheless, in all that you do. Ask God to help you. So again, even if we... Okay, he said, let the words of my mouth. So that's the other point I wanted to make. If we're watching our mouths as well as watching our minds, so we have to be careful about what we're doing. Not over careful, you know, afraid and whatnot. Just be concerned about what's in our hearts and minds and what comes out of our mouths. Because words can either bless or curse. And we want to be a blessing. So that God can count us to be receive his blessings. Oh, and that word strength is also translated rock. Oh, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In some of the scriptures, they use rock. You see, because, you know, Christ is our rock, you know. He's our strength, you know, and a rock is strong, most of them. So, yes, we want to be careful about, you know, what we're doing because we can set ourselves up or our loved ones up for failure, having a feeble mind. Now, some people say, you know, a lot of folks say that children that grew up without fathers, they have something missing in their lives. You see? Some become criminals and a lot of other things happen to them because they don't have that real guidance and that strength to build up their hearts and minds. It seems like a father can really build up a child's heart real good. After he spanked them a few times, too, you know. Keep them straight, son. Keep straight. But we need correction. And that guidance and just the concern of a parent coming to see about us and check us out and tuck us in the bed and encourage us. It's a very good, strong blessing for any child. And gives them good, strong strength of character. So, okay, let's go to Matthew 11:28. So this is a good verse because it says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You see? Because you're going to go through some things in life. And God will still comfort you and give you rest and give you peace in your life. Whatever you need, He can supply. Because He's rich and full of all great, good, and good things. And I think He's just so wonderful. It just makes me happy all the time, you know. Just to know that God is who He is. And to know what He is to us as His saints. And knowing that He cares for us. And is willing to come in to us and bless us with the blessings that we need to go forward in our lives. Even though we might cry sometimes. Yes, we'll have sorrows and pains and suffering. But God sees us through all of these things to a brighter and better day. And I'm thankful that He has brought us out from where we have been. Let's go to Acts, the 17th chapter. Because of all the things that God does for us, He does a lot. And now again, that's because He cares. You see, because He made us. You see, for in Him we live and move and have our being. That's why we're here. We consist because God made mankind. And also some of your own poets have said, "For we are also His offspring." Isn't that wonderful, the offspring of God? I keep thinking, you know, to myself a lot of times, why does God decide to make us His children? Wow. Such an all-powerful being who wants to make mankind and build up a nation. And it'll be called by His name. And we can, when we go before Him, we say, "Father. Father." What a relationship. I think it's wonderful. Let's go to Isaiah 42. We're going to start at verse 5 and go through 16. Because we want to look at a few issues here that I think is important, you know, concerning being failures or not being a failure. You see? Thus says God, the Lord. Now, you know when it says the Lord, that's Jesus. Now, when it says Lord, that's automatic, right? Okay. Who created the heavens and stretched them out? Who spread forth the earth and that which comes from it? Now, this is not the only verse that let us know that Jesus created everything, right? We go to John 1:1 and start reading, and you'll see another verse and you'll see other places in the scripture that let us know that Jesus is the one who, through the power that He had to do what He did, created all things. Who gives breath to the people on it? See? Remember, he said He breathed the breath of life into Adam, and he became a living soul, a living creature, a living being, and spirit to those who walk on it. So there's a spirit in man that gives us life. That's the breath. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. See? He's right there holding our hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light unto the Gentiles, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, those who sit in darkness from the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. All right? So that's why he told us, do not carve out no images. Right? And don't make no image of God. I don't have no pictures of God in that are supposed to be God in my house. I don't have any crosses. No. I have the Ten Commandments that's written in there, you know. And a menorah, that represents light. Okay? Well, a lot of other things I don't have. And why would I have a cross in my house when the scripture doesn't lift up the cross to a point where, you know, it would be something to glorify? See, if we want to give all the glory and honor to God who sent his son, who Jesus Christ, who is the one who provided the atonement for our sins. The cross didn't do that. So no crosses in my house. Behold, the former thing have come to pass, and new things I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Tom brought that out several times, you know. God let us know what's happening before it happened. That's right here and also in the book of Isaiah. And don't you want to know about things, you know, and be on the in the know? You know, we always want to look at the news, but we find out what happened after it happened. That's different. See, God said, he'll spring forth, and I tell you of them before it happened. So we have prophecies in the scripture. Does prophecy help us? It does. It does help us to know what's going on. And we have a lot of stories in the scripture that tells us of things that happened to other people so that we can see what happened to them and be on guard. You see? Because people try to tell, especially your parents, they try to tell you, do as I say, not as I do. You know, God doesn't do that. He just say, I'm showing you what I have done before, so pay attention, right? How I delivered such and such a person, right? Okay, he can still do that for us. Where am I at? Verse 16? Oh, 10. Sing to the Lord a new song and his praise from the end of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that is in it. You coastlands and you inhabitants of them, let the wilderness and its cities lift up their voice. The villages that Kedar inhabits, let the inhabitants of Selah sing. See, then you wonder why we sing to God? Look at all the wonderful things that he has done and what he has done for you personally, right? And notice the prophecies again tell us what he will do in the future. Now sing. See? If you didn't know all these things and you would sing, you would say, well, I don't really know why I'm singing to God or why I sing. Right? If God has brought you through something, then you can sing glory to God in the highest. He's a wonderful God. Because I can say that he has done something for me. Now, your song is supposed to be glorious and joyful and happy. Let's go on. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory to the Lord and declare his praise in the coastland. The Lord shall go forth like a mighty man. He shall stir up his zeal like a man of war. Okay? And he shall cry out, yes, shout aloud. And he shall prevail against his enemies. Now, as he prevailed against his enemies, he can help you prevail against yours. And when it says he will prevail against his enemies, he will not what? He will not fail. He can take care of his enemies. And with that strength that comes from him, you can do likewise. I held my peace a long time. I have been still and restrained myself. Now I will cry like a woman in labor. I will point and grasp at once. I will lay waste the mountains and hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will make the river coastland. I will dry up the pools. I will bring the blind by a way they did not know. I will lead them in paths they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked paths straight. Huh? That's a wonderful God who would do all these kind of things. These things I will do for them and not forsake them. You want to be called the children of God? Notice how wonderful are the things that he can and will do. So can we believe what God said he would do? I believe. A lot of people don't want to believe. You know, they don't care. But I believe. See? Because I believe that God is all very powerful in the time he created all things that, you know, we see and can't see. So I believe. Let's go to Matthew 24, verse 35. Because he said all these things that he can do and what he will do, and we know about what he has already done, right? So Matthew 24, verse 35 says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will by no means pass away. See? He will not fail to do what he said he would do. Sometimes we make promises and say that we'll do something, and then we want to take the word back. You say, well, I don't want to really do that, you know. Sometimes, you know, you want to take certain things back. But God said, right, my words will by no means pass away. You can have confidence in that. So God will not fail. He will fulfill his promises. That's also found in, let's look in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Because there's a work that God has done with, began with us. He said, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So he's going to be working with us the whole time. Be with me, Jesus, some people will sing and talk about, you know, and he'll be there. If God doesn't fail, what are some things we know about him? So he will wash our sins away. He said he would do it, and he did it. Right? Okay, so he will lift you on high to sit in heavenly places. Working on that. He will vanquish our enemies. And he will not forsake you. That's the most important thing. He will not forsake you. So again, God can bring you through whatever adversity that you face in life. If you will be happy and sing God's praises. There will be other times when you will not be happy. You may mourn sometimes. Don't give up. No, don't give up. God still wants you to be with him. Joseph did not give up because of what he went through. He didn't even know or understand what was going on. Uh-huh. But he still lived right. Right? Okay? And eventually he was delivered and raised up to do a great work to the glory and honor of God. At the time, you may not see it nor understand what is happening in your own life. If you stay faithful, your deliverance will come. That's right. But there's another gospel singer, I think I mentioned one before, and this is one who sang with a group called Hawks Nelson. That's a group that I've never heard of, you know, but nevertheless, they do exist. He was the lead singer, and he shared he had lost his faith in God. Mr. Steingard? Nobody knows him, huh? I don't think so. I don't know who he's saying these people, but you know, I found this on the World Wide Web. You see, that a singer started asking more difficult questions about Christianity, you see, after he joined Hawk Nelson at the age of 20. These questions included, why would a God allow evil in the world? Now, we've been through that, but he didn't get an answer to his question. How can a loving God send people to hell? We know what the answer is, but he didn't find it. Why does God seem harsh in the Old Testament, but kind in the New Testament? Well, that's the same God in the Old Testament that's in the New Testament. There's no change. God, you know, he winked at a lot. He was gracious in the Old Testament. He's gracious in the New. There were just certain things that were revealed in the New Testament that was not in the Old. But the foundation of the whole Scripture is in the so-called Old Testament. Okay? So it's the same God who gave the commandments, right? Same God who kept those same commandments and admonished us to do likewise. The whole duty of man is to love God and keep his commandments. That's all throughout the Scripture. So I hope this young man finds the answers to his questions one day. I almost want to write him a letter, but I guess I probably won't do that. So again, what do we know thus far? That God has fulfilled a lot of his promises that he made to mankind. Jesus was promised to the world. According to the Scripture, Jesus fulfilled that promise in his first advent. He came, suffered, bled, and died. All that was in the Scripture, that these things would happen. And he rose again for our justification. Right? So the Scripture says God sent his Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Brought salvation to the world. So God did, we have this as an example to let us know that God does not fail. No. So there's a song about that, you know, that says God never fails. You say, God never fails. He abides in me and gives me victory. Well, God never fails. Just keep the faith and never cease to pray. Just walk upright, morning, noon, day or night. He'll be there with you. Yes, he'll be there. There's no need to worry, for God never fails. And I like that song. And I like hearing that God set his plan in motion for mankind a long time ago. He set the heavenly bodies to even show forth that plan and for man, and he used his feast days to even show forth his plan of our lives, for his plan of salvation. And he gave his word and his promises, and we have seen that some of his promises have already been fulfilled. That gives us confidence to know and follow and believe in him and not forsake him like this young fellow did. Because he's wondering about certain questions that he has no answer for. No. We look in the Word and we are confident that God came in and blessed and helped people. Right? So if he does not come back, that would mean he failed to keep his promise. When the scripture says he's coming back, that's a confidence for us to believe that he's coming back. Because we have seen this God-forsaken world, we've seen troubles because people do not believe in God. So they solve their problems with fire and mayhem. It's not the answer, but that's what they chose. So we believe in him and his word. So I will continue to believe and trust and follow him. So I don't have to be an anarchist. Right? I don't have to destroy. I don't have to call people names, misuse and abuse people. Stay with God. Because of all the things he's done, and he said he's coming back, he will not fail to keep his promise. For God never fails.